thankful for another opportunity that is ours to consider what is the truth. What is the truth about certain things? And last week we addressed a question concerning the work of the Holy Spirit and whether or not if someone lives through the rapture and the believers are all taken home to glory and they're on this earth, the question was, will they get a second chance? Will they get another chance to accept the Lord if they have heard the way? We addressed that last week. And I told you that we would take a few more Sunday evenings on the ministry or the person of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, what an excellent topic that we would take this evening. And Andrew, what this is called for your message title back there, The Truth About the Spirit's Baptism. What is the Spirit baptism that we see here in Scripture? And that's what we want to look at this evening. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just commit ourselves to you, thanking you that we can be a part of this service. We're thankful for what has been ours already. And we want to glorify you as we turn to your word, and then we look forward to the special participation, even the opportunity to witness one being obedient to you and following you with this matter of baptism. We pray your leading, guiding. We commit ourselves to you and thank you for what you have for us. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, what is the Spirit's baptism and the truth about it? There are topics like this. You could spend message after message after message addressing, and how do you manage to come up with a shorty and be able to at least get some good truth, basic truth, explained, and who knows, maybe some other time be able to take a look at it once again. But I have selected four different thoughts in relation to it that I would like us to consider this evening. And again, is that all there is? Isn't there more? Doesn't the Bible say we could go many more places than that? But as what I want us to look at is just four thoughts, and then we want to move on to the observance of this ordinance that we believe is for the believers today. So, having said that, what might our first point be? The truth about the Spirit's baptism is that it's spoken of prophetically. It's spoken of prophetically. As we think about this, we see in Matthew 3:11, John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit and fire. And John was referring, of course, to the coming of the Lord. And he indicated that when he came, there would be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1, verse 33, we see again this thought where it tells us, when different ones were trying to find out who John was, they were saying, who are you? And are you this person? Are you that person? And in verse 33, he said, notice in verse 32 and 33, John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. During our Lord's lifetime, we know that, especially in John's Gospel, he talked about the promise of the Father who was coming. And the one that he was referring to was the Holy Spirit, who would be coming after the Lord left. And our Lord taught that he would come, he would teach them, he would show them things to come. And the Lord spoke of the coming of the Holy Spirit in person, but what are we talking about? What's this baptism of the Spirit? We move from prophetically to initially is our second word. Initially. When do we find the scriptures referring to the Holy Spirit doing a work that we would describe as the baptism of the Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, or not many days from now. Who was speaking here? Our Lord, just before he was taken up to glory. And he said, I want you to stay here in Jerusalem because it won't be long. And you've heard the Father talk about the Spirit, and it won't be long, and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, when did it happen? Look on to Acts chapter 2. As we look at this is still under initially. When did he first come? Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it rested or set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Some began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we know on that the day of his initial arrival, as predicted, the Holy Spirit enabled for the purpose of getting out the gospel, these individuals upon whom the Spirit rested the ability to speak with languages they had never ever spoken or known before, because Jerusalem was filled with people from all different parts, multiple languages. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, one of the things that he did was enable them to give the gospel to those folks that were there. And ultimately, on that day we call the day of Pentecost, the response was, if I'm not mistaken, about 3,500 people accepted the Lord as their own personal Savior. All right, we've seen prophetically, we knew he was coming initially. We see it here in the book of Acts, and he came as prophesied on the day of Pentecost. But let's see a third word, and that is, what's the truth significantly? What is the truth about the Spirit's baptism significantly? What does this mean? And that's why I've used the word significantly. What does it mean to us? If somebody would ask you, have you ever heard about the baptism of the Spirit? What is this? Define that. Describe that in 25 words or so. What are we talking about? Here's the significance of the work that he did. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, the believer is united or placed into the body of Christ. What do you mean? Placed into the body of Christ. Don't ask me to explain that. I just believe that is the truth that we find in Scripture. Somehow, actually, as God is concerned, the Holy Spirit took the believer and placed them into the body of Christ. How much was he placed into the body of Christ? Here's how much. The believer was so much into the body of Christ that when Christ died on the cross, guess what happened to that believer in God's eyes? They died with him. When Christ was, they placed his body into that tomb, the Holy Spirit had so united us into the body of Christ that guess where we went? We went into that tomb with Christ. And when 3 days later Christ was raised in newness of life from the grave to live forevermore, that believer that was united or placed somehow in God's perspective, and as far as God is concerned, guess where we were? We were raised with him. That's the significance of what Paul said when he mentioned in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, a passage which we have already looked at in our morning messages in the book of Galatians. Galatians 2:20. The King James says, I am crucified with Christ. We're told that in the original, it actually should be reading, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, what does this mean? It means that just like Paul had mentioned in the book of Romans, the fact that he said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" That's the significance. What does this mean to us as a believer? It means that in God's eyes, and we talk about positional truth and we talk about practical truth, positionally, as God sees us, we have already died unto sin in his Son. We were buried and we were raised again in newness of life. That's the significance. You say, well, I don't know that baptism of the Spirit did anything for me. Well, I hope you realize it did something for you. What a difference. What a difference the Spirit's work in our life. When does it become the significance? We're still under the significance point here. When does it become effective for an individual? At the moment of salvation. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit does this very work that we have just described and makes it actual in the life of that person. That being said, should we be looking for the baptism of the Spirit? You hear people talking about that and misled and confused about, as though it's something we ought to be praying for and hoping to see it happen. No. It's already happened. And it becomes effective in our behalf the moment a sinner puts their faith and trust in the Lord and receives him as their own personal Savior. Let me give you point number four. Universally, let's see how this works out. Notice we've already looked at Romans 6:3. As know you not that so many of us as were or are baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Paul is writing to believers. Notice in this 13th verse, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body," the body of Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. You see, I call this universally because this is a work that the Spirit has done for the body of Christ universally. That has already taken place back then. and it becomes operative anytime a person down through the ages puts their faith and trust in the Lord as their own Savior. It then becomes effective in behalf of that believer's life the moment they put their trust in Him. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There are not baptisms of the Holy Spirit, only one. When He did that work, putting the believer into the body of Christ, uniting so that what Christ experienced, we experienced. The Holy Spirit did that. Not multiple baptisms of the Spirit, just one. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and you and in you all. So, as we think about this, we think of some of the truth that Scripture gives us concerning the Spirit's baptism. It's something that has already taken place as far as God is concerned. It's something that becomes effective anytime a person puts their faith and trust in the Lord. They benefit from being in the body of Christ and the fact that they have died unto sin and they're alive unto the Lord. Having said that about the Spirit's baptism, what are we doing here tonight? Is this going to be a Spirit baptism which is taking place here this evening?
No,
it's not a Spirit baptism. Why do we do this? Whose idea was it anyway to come up with a baptismal service? As we look at even the Gospels, we discover that it was instituted by our Lord in Matthew chapter 28. Remember, as Matthew's Gospel ends, just before he was taken up to glory, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." What's the next word? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. So, why do we do it? We do it because it is something our Lord instructed His followers to carry on. We were to take the gospel, and as we share with individuals, give the gospel to them, make sure you tell them about the Spirit baptism. Is that what? No. You tell them about this water baptism. Well, what is it? We find, and we could go through especially the book of Acts, it was practiced by the early church and onward numerous times. In fact, even on the day of Pentecost, remember the day the Spirit initially appeared, as had been prophesied. The Lord said, "You wait till He comes, just a few more days, and the Spirit is coming." In the book of Acts, chapter 2, and Peter proclaimed the truth the message of salvation in Christ, what do we discover? Do you know what occurred that very same day? It tells us that then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Huh. In the message, in that Pentecostal day message, Peter was very faithful in telling them that this is something you ought to be doing. They that received the word were baptized, and it was that day there were about 3,000. I said 3,500 a while ago. 3,000 souls that were baptized on that day of Pentecost. Now, why are we doing this? Is Nick going to the tank in a few minutes to wash away his sins?
No.
Is that what the water does? Water can't wash away our sin. We sing a song. What can wash away my sin? And what's the answer? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well then, what's the significance of this for a believer? Why should we do this? Other than the fact that the Lord said, I want you to go and do this in my name, you followers of mine. It is a testimony. We believe, number one, it's an act of obedience on the part of the candidate, because they realize that the Lord expects followers of his to be baptized. We find the going into the water and the going under the water and being raised again. I'll raise you. Okay, Nick? Don't worry about that. What's the significance? We believe that the water baptism has been given as a visual illustration of what no one could see happen when the Holy Spirit baptized us into Christ. We couldn't see when the Holy Spirit put us into the body of Christ and we died with him. We couldn't see when Scripture says we went to the grave with him. We couldn't see when Christ rose from the dead and we were all raised with him. We couldn't see that. Scripture teaches that happened actually positionally through the work of the Spirit and in the eyes of God. But how can I picture that? We can picture that in the water. As the candidate is placed under the water, what is that a picture of? Death and being buried. And like I said, Nick, I'm not going to keep you there because the grave didn't keep our Lord there. The believer is raised in newness of life in Christ. And the believer is raised signifying that due to the work of the Holy Spirit, I died with him, I was buried with him, and I was raised up again. And I want to be known as one who is a follower of my Lord. I want to be identified as one of his own. So that's what we see taking place. This is not the Spirit baptism taking place. It is illustrating what took place when the Spirit baptized Nick. When Nick put his faith and trust in the Lord, that became operative in his behalf, and it is something that is a testimony for all to see.